Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
All right, so part one today, who am I? Let's start with Romans 8, 14 through 17. Now, I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation, but you probably won't see the Passion on the screen because I don't believe we have it. But I wanted to share with you from the Passion today. So this is titled, Sons and Daughters Destined for Glory. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. 15, and you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirit joins him in saying the words of tender affection, Beloved Father. Verse 16, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us when he whispers into our innermost being, You are God's beloved child. Verse 17, and since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed we are heirs of God himself, and since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he was. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. You know, I have a confession to make to you. I haven't been living as a son the last 14 months. I've been living as an orphan. And Alice and I went through a series of life-changing events that sent me down the wrong path. You know, I got really angry with God. We had this new house, the house of our dreams. And then between a car accident, a cat dying, Alice having surgery, a new job, a new product line at work, I went down the wrong road. I buckled under the pressure. And I couldn't handle the upgrade that God had given me. God was upgrading me in all areas of my life, but I wasn't ready for it. I kept saying, God, I want this, I want that, I want this upgrade. Be careful what you wish for. He's going to start giving it to you. And I wasn't in a position to handle it. And so finally in December, God had had enough of my running from him and decided that it was time to expose my hurts, my habits, and my hang-ups. You know, the process of being exposed and the short term afterwards were painful for all involved. I felt like such a failure. It made me want to run from God even more. You know, I read this quote and it just reminded me of how I felt at this time. The quote says, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Mike Tyson. He spoke that before he fought Evander Holyfield. You know, we all have a plan in our life. We all think we're walking around and doing what we're supposed to do. And then we get punched in the mouth. We don't even see that punch coming. And that's where I was at. And I think that I've been at that place in my walk before, but not like here. Not like this time. I could tell you that I thank God for Pastor Charlie. He showed me love in the midst of my failures. I don't know that I've ever met anyone that can love as well as Pastor Charlie. You know, we joke around, and I remember numerous times in this pulpit, I said when I first met him, I thought he was an arrogant jerk and this and that, and I did. But I've never had anybody love me the way he loved me in the middle of this. I remember I confessed to him that I could find Stupidville without the use of a map. We both laughed because of my truthfulness. I'll share another quote with you. To see a man beaten, not by a better opponent, but by himself, is a tragedy. Customato wrote that. He was Mike Tyson's trainer. I've been reading this book that's got about the story of Mike Tyson and his trainer. And if you don't know, Tyson was a street fighter. He just used to get in brawls and he beat up people. But he didn't know how to box. Customato taught him how to box and he taught him about life. Some of it Mike listened to, some of it he didn't. I told Pastor Charlie that I needed help. And we worked together to get me the help I needed. But 4 days after all this happened, my friend Pastor Mike Coleman picked up the phone and texted me and he said, I need you to call me. And I said, oh wow. Now Pastor Mike and I have been in relationship for 10 years. He used to be my neighbor and really taught me the word in my early walk. He's a Bible scholar. He's a ghost writer for many of the authors. You probably read their books, and he's preached all over the world. He's been in ministry for 40 years, and he calls me up, and he says, and we get on the phone, and he says, man, I've been praying for you every day for the last week. And he said, I just need to tell you something. I've got a word for you. It's three simple words, but here's the word for you. He says, you're not disqualified. And as he spoke that to me at that moment, I realized what I had asked God for, which I said to God, God, if you really love me and you really don't think I'm this rotten human being, then you need to send somebody to me and prove to me how much you love me. Because I was still, and then he sends Mike, probably one of the three people that could that I had in my mind and I was thinking about. But he sends Mike to give me that word. Mike says, listen, he says, I know we haven't walked together, but we're going to start walking together again. He says, we're going to start building a relationship together. He says, I don't know why we've never been able to, but he's like, but I love you and God loves you and we're going to walk this out together. And I said, wow. I said, okay. I said, I'm in. And so I made a commitment to God that I would get in my word every morning. And I started that next day with him, which was December 23rd. And I have not stopped since then. I've been in the word and in intimate time with the Lord every morning when I get up. Now, I had been doing this for a good chunk of my walk, but in early 2018, I stopped. And I couldn't understand why I stopped. And I couldn't understand. But what I figured out now was it was very simple. I had been doing it out of a religious act instead of to be intimate with God. My time in the morning was out of religiousness, or somebody told me you need to have time with God in the morning. And I went to him seeking something from him instead of going to him saying, I want a relationship with you. And so that's why my time is so beautiful with him now. And I just enjoy my time with the Lord every morning. Over the last 8 months, I have put many things in place to help guide me back to God and allow the Holy Spirit to reign in my life. You'll hear more about these later today in the message. But I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians for a second, chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Again, I'm in the Passion. But he answered me, my grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weakness, for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but delighted. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal of God's power. When I read that, I was like, wow. I was like, that just really spoke to me. It was like, in the midst of my weakness, I can get closer to God. I've been walking with the Lord for, I don't know, 13 years now or so, 12 years, and I never understood how much he wants us in a place where he can speak to us. And the problem is we start doing well, we start doing better, taking care of ourselves, etc., and we get in this place where we think we're doing it instead of him doing it. And so we get arrogant and we get prideful and we get in all these situations. And then God gives us a little tug and says, uh-uh, it's not your way, son, it's my way. You know, it's okay to ask for help. I've learned that in this season. Especially for men, I think sometimes it's harder for us to ask for help. We're pure isolationists. When we have a problem, we want to go isolate. In whatever it may be, but we want to go isolate ourselves. Nobody is perfect. You know, this walk, we're not going to be perfect till we meet Jesus in heaven. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're not supposed to be trying to be perfect. We're supposed to practice progress over perfection. I know more than ever today that I am innocent and have truly received the baptism of innocence. Now, I couldn't tell you that a month ago. I didn't feel that way, but God's really been working on me. You know, in the last month, God has woken me every day at 5:55 in the morning. And that 5:55 has been a symbol throughout my walk. And there's been times that God has done it here and there. Because if you read Isaiah 55:5, and I'm reading out of New Living here, it says, you also will command nations you do not know, and people unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Now, when God starts waking me every day at 5:55 every day, he's up to something. and I know he's up to something, and I see it in what's happening in my days, and I see how I'm feeling when he's doing this. I don't like being up at 5:55. I'd like to wait, like sleep till 7, but God has had other plans. I've been getting up on a much earlier schedule lately. You know, it's interesting. This is a word for somebody or a few of you in here today. This is what I keep hearing, though, around Isaiah 55:5. There are people at your workplaces who are talking about you behind your back. It's okay. They're not doing it in a bad way. They're doing it in a good way. They're doing it in God's way, trying to get you promoted behind the scenes. God is using people to talk to you behind the scenes, to talk about you behind the scenes. That's a nice thing to have happen. But most of us, when we hear that people are talking about us behind our back, aren't real excited when we hear that. You know, I've experienced that myself. There's a lot of talk that's been going on in my job about me behind my back. And I've learned to be really blessed by it because I've heard what it is, some of it, and it's really good. God has shared with me some of what was happening. You know, in this past season, I went through a situation where I was up for a promotion at work, and I was really excited about this promotion. And my friend who had got me to come on board with the company, he's the vice president of the region, and he was all excited, and he told me about it 2 weeks before it was even going to be released that they were making a change. And so I was like, this is great. I'm super excited about it. I said, I want it, man. I'm in. Now, Brian Higbee, when he was here, Uncle Brian had given me a word about a promotion. But I'd heard that word and everything. And so we go through this whole process, and I'm getting ready to get promoted. And, you know, and my friend, the VP, comes up to me at a meeting. His name's John. And he says to me, he goes, so listen, I need to talk to you. And I said, yeah. And he says, you were the guy for the position. And I go, was. And he says, yeah, you were. And he said, but Joe threw his name in the hat. He said, and you know Joe's got a better relationship with the president of our division, my boss, than anybody else does. He goes, so it's going to be Joe. Now, understand something. Joe is my close friend. I knew he threw his name in the hat because 3 weeks before all this happened, we sat down and Joe said to me, he says, listen, I just need to tell you I'm throwing my name in the hat. He goes, and if I got to lose to anybody, it's you who I want to lose to. And I looked at him, I said, if I have to lose to anybody, it's you. But there was something inside of me that said, he's probably got this, but I'm not going to stop going for it yet. So I was a little upset. You know, I was trying to go through my process, how I think, how I feel and all this about this. And I went through this process and I got to the point and I was like, you know what? I'm okay with it because it would have been a pay cut for me to take this promotion. Would have been promotion in rank, but a pay cut. Well, I texted Pastor Charlie and he says, I wouldn't be okay with it. Figure out what's going on, what happened. He goes, go to God. So I did. You know, and as I went to God with this, here's what I heard. Son, I have you right where I want you right now. And you're trying to get out of my will and go do something. And the only reason I threw Joe in the mix is because they would have given it to you and you shouldn't have had this right now. By the way, I was trying to bless you financially, and I am blessing you financially, and you tried to go get in the middle of this and take a pay cut. I was like, okay. I was like, all right, God, I missed that one. I was like, okay, but it brought peace to the situation. I understood what had happened. It was interesting, though, the next Sunday. So this all, I had that conversation with the Lord on a Friday. Sunday morning, I'm sitting here in church. God goes, on your way home, listen to Higbee's word again. So I had my phone. I go listen to it. And he said, yeah, you got a job promotion coming. And I said, yeah, if they want to promote me, it's going to be a cut in pay. And he goes, well, that's not a promotion. That was Higbee's word. That's not a promotion. And I realized what had taken place. I had gotten a raise 3 weeks earlier, a big raise, and that was my promotion. I thought when he said promotion, it meant by rank, and God was trying to promote me financially, and he did. And so I had missed that I had already been blessed and already got the promotion, and here I am trying to go get in the middle of it. It's funny the things we do, isn't it? So it was very interesting to go through that process, and it helped grow me, and it helped me realize that I'm exactly where God wants me to be. Now, here's the best part about the whole thing. My friend Joe, who's in the position now, the guy who was in the position before, wasn't helping me a bit. And I need their help in that position. My friend Joe, who's in the position, is helping me more every day than anybody has ever helped me out. And I'm going to be more prosperous and more blessed than I've ever been with Joe in that role. So thank you, Jesus. You know, 12:15 a.m. a couple weeks ago, I'm asleep, I'm sound asleep, and I keep hearing my name called. I keep hearing Brad Gilman, Brad Gilman. And I'm like, who's that? I look over to see if Alice is awake. She's not awake. If you know Alice, she's definitely not awake at 12:15. So, and I start to think, like, maybe I'm Samuel, right? Love you, hon. I start to think, maybe I'm Samuel. Maybe this is God calling. And I hear, I've called you as my son. I've called you to preach. I've called you to teach. I've called you to prophesy. I've called you to lay hands on the sick. He says, but more importantly, don't ever say I didn't call you by name. Now, I've never heard the Lord call me by Brad Gilman before. He says, don't ever say I didn't call you by your name. I just remember just shaking there in the bed, just quietly, just laid there and shook. And I just felt like his arms were around me. And I realized that in the midst of everything I had gone through, here he is calling me by name. Wow, I had never heard that before. He probably had called me before by name, but I probably had cotton in my ears and couldn't hear that. This is my first time in my walk that I started to understand God's timing and his calendar a little bit better than I have before. This is an area I've definitely struggled. You know, God wants us serving him with excellence, and he wants us on our A game. You know, I shared some of the story of 40 Days of Breakthrough with you, but let me share the backside of that story. I went out to speak in Manford, Oklahoma, which is a little town outside of Tulsa. It's like the woods. It's like going to Yalaha, if anybody knows where that is. So, out in Lake County. So I went out to Manford and went to preach at this church. And this church, the praise and worship wasn't anywhere near the kind of praise and worship we have in here. It's nowhere near it. So you've got to praise and worship in the car when you go out there, because there might be a song, there might be three songs, there might be no music that day. But the pastors are sweet people. And I remember the night before, I had my notes all written, and they were in my iPad, and all of a sudden, they went away. Gone. Like 3 pages of notes. And luckily, I got to my iPhone really fast before it went away in my iPhone, and I sent it to myself an email, and I got them. And the Lord said, do I have your attention? I said, yes, you have my attention. He says, I want you to start posting a verse of scripture and a word on Facebook every day for the next 39 days. And I said, okay. And so I started to do that. And this was like back in 2014. And then I realized, and I got near it, and it was like, and I got to the 39th day, and God said, do one more. He says, that's your next book, 40 Days of Breakthrough. It's a really neat book because it's a daily devotional, and I've used it over and over and over again. And I actually got to use it again this year in the midst of a struggling season. So it's a real blessing. So let's get on to the rest of the good stuff here. So part two, where are we going? You know, God has cast a vision over this house. There have been some strong prophetic words spoken in this house and in this region, but he's called us to be a training center, an equipping center, a spiritual hospital. Those words are still there. They're still out there. He's still called that for us. But you know what sticks out to me the most? It was what God is doing with the NEST conference, August 23rd through 25th. You know, 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom realm of God comes with power, not simply impressive words. Matthew 6:33, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. You know, God is bringing us a functional family at the NEST to teach us how to be a family. Papa Jack's family isn't always a perfect family. Pastor Susie could tell you that. But it's a family that knows how to deal with each other in love, as Susie was sharing with us. You know, most of you know Brian Higbee. But when you see Uncle Brian around Eddie Robertson and Bobby Richard and Rusty and Belinda and Bill Vanderbush and Papa Jack, you'll see Higbee operate very differently than when he came here as himself. There's something we have to learn from this. You know, Pastor Charlie said it best. He said, God will offend your mind to expose your heart. I promise you at this conference, you are going to hear some things that are going to offend your mind. Let God do this. So I'm going to read to you from day 22 of 40 Days of Breakthrough. The title from that day is called Teachable. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Interesting. Be teachable. There is nothing more that God wants from us than to be teachable. He desires to teach us. So often we don't allow those that God has sent to teach us. When we reject his prophets, we reject him. Many have spoken into my life because I have allowed them to teach me. I have also had times where I was not teachable and I missed a great blessing in my life. Will you allow God to teach you things? This is a very important step in your breakthrough. Think about how much you have shut down and turned down. Now the next time God needs send someone to teach you, be open and receive it. That's where we're supposed to be for this conference. Be open and receive it. You know, Pastor Charlie spoke to us last week about positioning ourselves. This starts by us not being so easily offended. It starts with us allowing Holy Spirit to operate in our lives and realize that he is in charge and not us. This body is going to take authority over this region. We will do this in love, and I believe the next conference will be the blueprint for how we accomplish this. So part three, how are we going to get there? So you now have heard the vision has God laid out that God has laid out for us, but how are we going to get there? The next 10 days are the time for us to start to practice self-care. I think the reason that we get out of the will of God is because we are not taking care of ourselves. Some of you are like, oh no, he's going there. I am. Elder Rodney kind of told you it was coming already, so... Earlier in the message, I spoke to you about how I went down the wrong path in 2018. I shared with you how easy it was for me to get off track. Well, over the last 8 months, I have learned some new tools to keep myself walking with the Lord. I've learned that our self-care is so important. Preston, if you and Elder Mike and Ted can pass those out. You know, God wants to use each of us to grow his kingdom. Yet our poor choices in the area of spiritual self-care, emotional self-care, financial self-care, and physical self-care hold us back from being used by God. Additionally, if we are a true family, how come some of us only see and talk to each other on Sundays and not Monday through Saturdays? So here's a question for you to ponder. How many people's phone numbers do you have? The answer should be about 10 or more in here. If we're really a family, we need to be able to reach out to each other in good times and in bad. Don't just wait till you're struggling, but in good times and in bad. You know, most of us are not accountable to anyone in this house. Yet we continue to walk around and call each other family. God's calling us to a level of accountability. When you see Pastor Charlie and his brothers and Papa Jack together, you're going to see exactly what Susie talked about the accountability. We need that too. It's not just for Pastor Charlie to go do that. That's not what God has called for us. Who in here is praying for you on a daily or weekly basis? Or who in here are you praying for on a daily or weekly basis? I was talking to Pastor Charlie yesterday and I said to him that I had a lot of spiritual warfare this week. I said I had been tested by the enemy. He says, what'd you learn from it? I learned that I can be rattled, but I can't be taken out. It's okay to be rattled, but don't let God take you out. I mean, the enemy take you out when God's trying to keep you in. You know, if it's that easy for the enemy to take us out, then we become of little use to God. And that's a tough spot for us to be in. You know, if the enemy knows how he can get you every time, then he's going to take you out every time. And so we have to start putting things in place. We have to start getting people in place and asking them to pray for you. I had a bunch of people praying for me this week. This was a hard week. I knew it was going to be. I had a lot of things going on. Alice and I had a lot of things going on this week. I had probably my busiest work week this whole year. I had 2 16-hour days in a row. Those are fun. So, but blessings there. But you get tired. When we get tired, we stop taking care of ourselves. You know, we have to learn how to fight through these attacks. Let me read to you from Dying to Self, which is day 34. I called it death. Revelation 21:4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Death is a big part of your breakthrough. There are things in your life that must die. Ask the Holy Spirit what needs to die in your life. Is it old habits? Is it friendships that bring you down? Remember that elevators can take you up or down. People in our lives can be like elevators and tear us down, or they can rise us up. All of us have things in our life that need to be put to death. You know, I asked the guys to pass out a sheet to you. And this is a roadmap that I've been using. And so here's my challenge to you is get your pens out. And so I told you that the books were $10 each. If you come to me with one of these filled out, I'll give you one of each book for $10. So there's a blessing for you. But let's talk about the four areas of self-care. And let me share with you what I've been doing in these areas and how God has been helping me to get back on my feet. So in spiritual, the three things that I've done have been daily Bible reading, daily worship time, and daily intimacy with God. Those have changed my spiritual walk more than anything before. You know, I love the illustration of when somebody has some pots, and we have the flesh, and then we have the soul, and then we have the spirit, and you start trying to fill the flesh first and hope that it pours over. It's actually the wrong design. The design is our spirit man should be up top, and that trickles to our soul, and that trickles to our flesh. Well, we can't get there without taking good care of ourselves spiritually. One of the other things, I'll come back to that, but let's talk about emotional self-care. For me, that has looked like counseling twice a month. Yes, I go to counseling. Is it fun? Sometimes. Not always, but I need to go. It helps me. You know, the other thing I've started to do is I started to share my feelings with my wife instead of isolating. I learned how to isolate really good over the years. I've learned how to just withdraw and just not talk about that stuff. Even though I had a mom who probably shared more than people might have wanted to hear, I went the opposite direction. And then the third thing I've done is I've set up a goal tracker for daily, weekly, and monthly goals. So some of my daily goals are to read the word and have intimate time and worship every day with God. So I have that all in a tracker. I check in with that once a week and make sure, except when I got I was out of town in May for like 21 days. And I realized midway through June that I was like, I'm not really back on my tracker, and I had to get back on my tracker. But you know, weekly goals, I put stuff like book writing and working on my book. I put stuff like my attitude and my mindset. And then, you know, where is it at on a 1 to 10? If my attitude's bad, probably the rest of everything's not going well. And then on my monthly goals, one of our monthly goals is finances. So I have a line that shows what's in our savings account because I have a goal for the year of what needs to be in there. But also on my monthly is, how did I do that month? Was it a smooth month? Was I all over the map, or was I just a raging ball of nerves flipping out about everything and losing my cool all the time? And so I can tell you that pretty much January through June, we're all somewhere between like threes and fives on the 1 to 10. And then July was a much better month. In July, I think I put it like a 7, and I was like, praise God, I'm out of that season. I turned the corner. I started to understand how to take care of myself better so that I can live a more productive life and a happier life. You know, our financial goals, I will tell you, stick to a budget. If you don't have one, ask for help. You know, my friends Omar and Maciel are here today. About 5 years ago, Omar called me up one day and he said, dude, I'm just struggling financially. Can you help me out? And I said, yeah, I can help you out. I said, do you guys have a budget? He says, not really. I said, okay, I'll come over. I'll bring my computer. We'll work on a budget for you. and they were going through a really tough time. And so I come over and we sit down, and we spent about 6 hours together that day. And I think the three of us can all tell you that was a painful 6 hours. As Maciel's nodding her head over there. It wasn't a fun 6 hours. But at the end, near the end of it, I said, God, I said, what are we supposed to be doing here? I said, I feel like we're at a wall. And he says, go to Dollar Tree. So the three of us went to Dollar Tree, and I looked at them. I said, fill up two baskets with whatever you want. I'm paying. And I was like, okay, God. But something shifted that day. Something broke. And so Friday night, Omar messages me and sends me a picture of them at the closing on their new house. Praise God. Yeah. Now, we never got together again to redo the budget. You know why? Because they understood the budget. If you got more going out than coming in, there's a problem. And I told them, it's not about what I want. It's your choices. You can figure all that out. However, we did talk about it all the time on the phone, and we stayed in touch, and I walked together through them. We've got to get our finances in order. We all need to get our finances in order. You know, Pastor Charlie called me out 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and he said to me, he goes, so you're making good money. He goes, how much is in the savings account? And I'm like, what savings account? And he goes to me, he goes, you don't have a pot to piss in, do you? And I'm like, well, I kind of do, but not that much. And he's like, he goes, you need to get a savings account. And I said, why? He goes, are you the king and priest of your home? I go, yeah. He goes, then you need to be tithing to your savings account as well, in addition. And I said, oh, okay. Yeah, guess what? It worked really well. My wife and I got to buy our dream house last year. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Charlie, for calling me out in love when somebody needed to call me out in love and tell me that I didn't know what I was doing. So, and the third part is being a good steward of our finances. Think before we spend. You know, do we need this? Do we need this now? Is this the right timing? You know, this all goes back to timing. So then our physical self-care. Now, this is an area that about a month ago, one of my customers said to me, she says, are you still working out? Because the last time I saw you, you were working out a bunch. And I said, no, I'm working out a day here, a day there. And she said to me, she goes, you put everything, including our appointments, in your schedule, don't you? Yep. Well, why don't you schedule a day once a week to schedule your four workouts for the week? And I was like, wow, that's a novel idea. So I sat right there and I did that. And her and her husband are both very fit. And I think they do some personal training as well. And so I scheduled it. Well, I can stand up here today and tell you that I've had a month straight of 4 days a week of workouts. It's changed my perspective about things. So here's what happens when I go to eat something now. I think about eating a little healthier because I'm like, I've just busted my tail and I'm drenched with sweat from working out. Why do I want to go put junk in my body? Some days that works, some days it doesn't, okay? But I'm working on it. Progress. And then the third thing for me is I'll get massage or body work done. I want to wrap this up, though, with the other thing on this sheet is accountability partners. I have three. Actually, I have more than three, but I have three main ones. Rodney, Alan, my twin who's here, and Pastor Charlie. You need to have some accountability partners in this house. You need to have some people that, if we're family, we have to be accountable one to another. You know, that's really important. I know people don't want to hear that, but it's really important. It's really important for us to walk together that way. So like I said, if you got that sheet filled out and you bring it over and show me that it's filled out, I will give you one of each book for $10 instead of $10 for each one. So, all right. So 1 Corinthians 6:19, have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You know, that doesn't mean just our physical. It means our spiritual, our emotional, our finances. It means all of it. It's self-care is all combined into one. We got to focus on different areas, but it's all one. So, all right, part four, the closing. It is time for us to be healthy. It's time for us to be the healthy sons that God has called us to be. It's time for us to walk together as a family. And truly mean it. So we can accomplish what God has called us to do in our region. I sense there is some unforgiveness here today within the family. And I'm going to tell you that don't go home today without clearing this up and repenting if you need to. It's there's people that have some unforgiveness toward each other today. And just don't leave here without taking care of that. Hurts, habits, and hangups are a part of life. If you are struggling, please reach out to somebody in this house or outside and ask for help. Again, it's time for us to walk together as a family so we can accomplish what God has called us to do in this region. Let's not let anything get in the way of this. At this time, I just want to open up the altar for prayer. And I'm going to ask the elders to come up and join me. But if you want to come up for prayer, just make a line up front. And I just want to pray for you. I will tell you, if you want to bring your sheet up that I gave you and that you're having some trouble filling it out or whatever, and bring it up and hold it in your hands, we'll pray over you for some wisdom and some guidance on what to be working on as well.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.